Hey there, Cornerstone teammates. This is Laramie, and I want to welcome you to our worship podcast, where we're studying the art and the heart of worship. We want to build you up, deepen your understanding, support you, and encourage you to get out there and do what God's called you to do. So let's get started.
So I was looking at different pictures of the Northern Lights that everyone posted. This past week, I wasn't able to see them because of the rain and the cloud cover that we have had a lot. But it was a pretty awesome sight from those pictures that I had seen. About a month before that, I tried to look at the solar eclipse, but didn't have the right eyeglasses. But the pictures that were posted, it was a pretty cool thing that, everyone was posting. It looked pretty good. I've been on mountaintops at night, and I remember just kind of looking out, just going, it's not fair that they have so many more stars here than we have here, because there's no ambient light. And I just get to see the stars. And I just think when I see that, the vastness of that, and just like, that just keeps going. It doesn't stop. It goes. I've seen some very beautiful sunrises and sunsets at different times, especially on mission trips, because you're already awake at that point. And just to see the different colors that the sky can paint that are out, and just what that is and the beauty of it. And as I was thinking about all that, I was reminded of Psalm 19:1, where it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." So the sky above, the stars, the moon, the sun, all of that is singing of God's glory. Psalm 66:4 says, "All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name." Isaiah 55:12 says, "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." I want to see that. That just sounds very exciting, to see all of nature and all of the earth singing of God's glory. And then I'm reminded, as we all are reminded in December, Luke 2, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and singing, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" In Revelation, we have several times in chapter 5 and 15 where it says, "And they," referring to the angels, "sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.'" And another time it says, "And the angels sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations.'" The angels are singing of God's glory. Everything sings and declares the glory of God. This month's worship topic that we're looking at is, we sing in worship in order to glorify God. We're going to spend the next few minutes talking about how singing is one of the ways that we live out the purpose for which we were created, which is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Worship is expressing our love to God for who he is, what he said, and what he's doing. The glory of God is his greatness, his beauty, and all of his worth on display for everyone and everything to see. To glorify God does not mean to make him glorious. He already is glorious, infinitely glorious. It means to experience and appreciate him for what he is and who he is: dominant, majestic, weighty, great, beautiful, and worthy. Corporate praise and worship are important, and so are personal praise and worship. God wants to hear your voice, your words, your cares, your heart. He wants you to enter into his presence. The Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. When you magnify God, singing of his wondrous works from creation to the cross and into eternity, you invite him into your life. It honors his greatness and focuses your mind on Him no matter the season you are walking. Singing has a special way of pulling together our heart, soul, mind, and strength to focus wholly and completely on God. And in this age of distraction, which I'm sure that we're not just talking about our kids being distracted, but how we get distracted with everything, singing captures all of our senses and directs our attention to God. We are commanded throughout scriptures to sing a new song, which implies that we were singing an old song. And I think that song was focused on our own glory and worth. And when we are saved and redeemed, we sing a new song. We don't just recite prose about God. Then speaks my soul, my Savior, God to thee, how great thou art. Those words are true and important, but when we put our whole self into it with singing, our voice, our mind, our body, we are offering up all that we are in singing of God's glory. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Singing uses all of us, and it connects all of us to each other. The primary motivator for any action, choice, or thought in a Christian's life should be the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, we manage our finances, relationships, and circumstances with the aim of orienting all of them toward the honor of our Lord. It's no different when we choose to sing. Singing is yet another way we can worship the Lord. We are singing to Him of all of His goodness, just like we might sing to someone we love of all the things we admire about them. Love songs come easy to us when we're looking at someone in their eyes. That same love song should come as we sing to God. Here are Peter's words in 1 Peter 2. He says, you are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews, one of those sacrifices is listed as the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips. And one of the sweetest fruits of lips that God created is the fruit of singing. Singing is a natural response of a heart that has tasted, seen, and savored the goodness and glory of God. We sing not because there is some insufficiency within God that needs our praise and delight, but because our souls were made to see and to savor Him. And it is only in doing so that we truly know the utter satisfaction that comes from communion with God. Singing is one of the means by which we experience that joy and delight. So sing. Hi, this is Jeff. I sing and I play guitar.
Hi, this is Tim, and I play the drums.
Hi, this is Zach. I sing and I play guitar as well.
Hi, this is Larissa. I sing.
So just open it up to you. How do you react to that? Not necessarily do you agree, disagree, but were there factors that you're like, oh, that's so true, or is there, I hadn't thought about that, or do you want to add to any of it? Did it remind you of something else that you want to add? Kind of open it up here.
Yeah, I think your point about when you mentioned the vastness and looking to the sky and seeing the stars, especially when you're somewhere that doesn't have all this ambient light, Boo, New Jersey. But when you're out there, you know, wherever that is, and you look up and there's, I don't know, while you were speaking, I've thought about like this weighted blanket. And the way that it like envelops you, comforts you. But the word vastness like really, really struck me because it's never ending. And you see the stars and the brightness of them and the expanse of the sky. And just, I think, relating that to who God is, His glory, His majesty, Like I'm looking out the window right now and you just, the sky just goes, but when it's clear and the stars are bright, I think just remembering who God is and that there's nothing that could stand in the way between me and him, knowing how large and deep and far the sky goes and the brightness of the stars. Yeah, that glory. Like you see it, you feel it. There's a weight to it.
Yeah, I totally agree. So my wife and I, we were up in Speculator, New York this past weekend, and we don't really get to, you know, when you live in the tri-state area, you're always surrounded by the city, which is also, you know, incredible. But we were up in Speculator in the Adirondacks, and we went on a hike and we went up to this one peak and just looking over just how incredible the forest is, and each small speck of every leaf, every insect, everything is created, and it's just sitting there on that rock. You really can see the awesomeness of God. The thing that spoke to me, one thing I love about music and why I'm so grateful to have the gifts to play music, to love music, to what you're saying about how, you know, when you're looking at somebody that you love, it's easy that a love song comes to you. And I think music can tap into every different type of emotion that we have. There's songs that are a little bit more solemn. There are songs that are a little bit more high energy, more of a praise. And I think that, you know, music and worship and doing it within community, doing it with small groups, I think can really tap into that emotion. You know, I cry a decent amount when I listen to worship music and when I sing. And I think, you know, God created emotions for us to experience, and they're all good emotions. And so I think that you really can kind of humble yourself. You can sing to him and you can experience those emotions. There's going to be, you know, songs that you had a really great day. You had a really great week. You want to thank God. You want to sing, you know, his praises. And then there's times where, you know, it may be a really tough period of your life, trials and tribulations that have come, and where you just seek him, and, you know, they're more quiet songs. So I think music to me, especially in terms of worship, taps into every emotion, and I can have that kind of intimate connection and relationship with God through music.
I don't know what psalm you mentioned, a psalm with the trees speaking to each other.
The trees clapping, right?
So it's funny. My son recently told me that he read somewhere that dogs can communicate with trees, and it sounds so funny. But in the same moment, I was like, it actually makes a lot of sense, right? There's another part of the Bible where they say that even the rocks will cry out, right? And it's the concept that nature is speaking, nature is singing his praise, nature knows God. God created nature, God created us. And I kind of laughed with him and I was like, you know what, buddy? It actually makes a lot of sense, you know? And the beauty of the fact that he is so well understood, not just by human beings who will fight the concept of God, but that nature just accepts and knows we are created by God. It's just such a beautiful concept, right? Because it's almost like humans are the high level of the food chain, right? But yet they're also the most challenging. But then the other levels of nature just know and trust. And this is another random comment, but when we play worship music in our house, my dogs are so calm and so still. I know I sound crazy and I'm sorry, but I truly believe that they feel Jesus's presence. I just see it. I see it in their face. They just lay calmly and they listen. They come to where we are.
No, that was good. So we've been talking about singing praises to the glory of God. Mm. Tim, you're back on drums. You know, there's times where Zach and I, we may not be on mic, but we're strumming a guitar.
Yeah.
So can you speak to that? How does that, when you're in the
cage
or the cage, the cave, whatever it is, and you're, you know, do you feel that that's part of even what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%. I've had conversations with people about this, but being behind the kit is one of the places that I have and do experience God the most in worship. For a long time playing the drums, that's been the spot where I've been able to commune with God and be all that He's created me to be in the sense of worship. And people, this isn't, you know, a bragging time, but people have said, like, I know when you're back there, or I can see you, because just the way that you play, the way that you respond, the Lord is in you and using you through the drums. And yeah, I mean, to your point, it's like, yeah, how do you worship when you're behind the kit? Like, you're just banging on things and making noise. But I think that's the thing. Like, the Lord gives gifts to every single person, whether you have a talent playing an instrument or singing or sliding faders, you know, behind the sound booth. Each and every one of those things is worshipful. And God sees that and is glorified through it. Mm-hmm. I will never give up playing the drums, because there is such a special tie between me and worshiping the Lord. Like, I've had a lot of experiences, you know, growing up playing the drums, and like, this is where the Lord has me and, you know, and uses me, and really experiencing His presence in that, mm-hmm. but glorifying Him through banging on drums. Yeah.
It's like the perfect example of what our relationship with Him is, where we come together. The church is the body. It's the people. It's the body of Christ. Yeah. And so when we play, we all have individual roles, I guess you could say, in each song. You're playing the drums, we're playing guitar, we're singing, you know, there's electric bass guitar, there's piano, and all comes together. And we're all focused on Him, but we all have our own individual relationships. And in that time, I think, Tim, like, that's a great example of, you know, you in the community, we're all glorifying Him and we're all praising Him, but you have that individual moment, mm-hmm. and that individual relationship, and using that gift that He's specifically given you to do that. So I think it's like a great example of, or symbol of you know, the church.
And no one's exempt from it.
Right.
You know, it doesn't, I don't think it matters what you bring to the table. You know, it's available. Mm-hmm. For all, no matter where you're placed, whether on a Sunday morning or a part of worship, like, it's this, as believers, like, we are called to glorify, mm-hmm. and to lift His name high, no matter where we find ourselves.
Yeah. I was reminded when you were talking, it was a movie before any of your time, Chariots of Fire. Great music, right? All right. So Eric Little, I think, yes. is his name. Yes. And
youth,
so
youth ministry, man. Like,
yeah, I've shown many clips of that. Yeah, right. You have to. But he says, when I run, I feel the glory of God. And someone says, why? He says, because I'm doing the very thing He's created me to do. Yeah. So I think whether He's created us to sing, to hit drums, to that, you have to throw in a picture of what that little black box is. You know, run little sound things over here. Yes. You can't call it as a sound system, but, you know, do that thing. Whatever God has called us to do, when we do it, we're feeling His glory because He's satisfied in us, but we're also giving Him glory because we're doing what He's created us to do.
I'll speak on that. So I've shared this with others before, but growing up, I've always had horrendous stage fright, like, to the point where it's like crippling. And Taylor was the one who was pushing me to go back to worship. And I was like, I don't think. And I mean, I couldn't control my voice. When I say, like, couldn't control my voice, like, no control. It would just spurt out and I would just want to get off and, like, go and cry in a corner. So I was like, I really don't think, like, I know you think I can do this, but I don't really think this is going to happen. And then, you know, coming on, all of a sudden God was just giving me this ability to be in front of people and focus on him and not be afraid. And I was like, oh my gosh, like you're telling me this is a go. You know what I mean? Like, I literally felt like he was like, go. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to run. You told me to go. I'm going to run. And I can't explain it other than just like the Holy Spirit. Like how else? Because I'm telling you, I no control, zero, nothing. And then all of a sudden I can like be somewhere with a lot of people and just focus on him and sing. I know that, but it, to me, like that was a big eye opener, you know, like God has given us abilities and he wants us to use it to bring glory to him and bring others to him. You know, it's not like just, yay, I'm praising, but like others being able to see Jesus, come to Jesus, transform other people's lives with things that he's given us. Like, it's just such a gift, you know? And I would be a fool not to take what he's given me and use it to glorify him, right? I
think that's so great.
Yeah.
I heard one time that when you pray for different things, like you pray for courage or you pray for challenges or something, he gives you opportunities to be courageous and he gives you opportunities. He doesn't give you the courage or he doesn't give you the wisdom. Well, he does give you wisdom, but he gives you opportunities and he wants you to take action in those. And I think, to your point, like, you know, you may have on your own individual, you may have tremendous amounts of anxiety and stress and man, I can't do this. I could never be a, you know, professional singer or anything like this, but you know, you've given me this gift. I want to trust in you that you're going to give me that ability to be up there and to glorify and to step up and take action. I think that's just, that's awesome.
Well, I was going to say, so how do we, so when we show up to either lead or to just sing, you know, whether which side of the stage we're on, but we're not feeling it, you know, but his glory is still there. The truth of what we're singing is still there, but I'm just not feeling it. I don't know if I can do this. How do you move beyond that so that you can say, but I still need to declare who he is. I guess in my mind, I just think of so many number of the Psalms that David wrote. It feels like that's what he was like. He walks in and he goes, I really don't feel like doing this. You know, God, I need you to kill like these people over here because I don't like what they're doing. But you probably should kill me because I'm a sinful man. But you know, you saved me and you're awesome. And all of a sudden he goes into, he all breaks that into song all of a sudden. So how do, if you have it, you know, how do you say, well, I'm still going to play these drums. I'm still going to sing because the truth is still there, but I may not feel it. And I don't want to say, you know, well, you just fake it till you make it. But, you know, is there something that you have or do, or is it just, I just lean into the truth of it and let it happen. I don't know. I did not come prepared with that. That was just kind of, as we were talking, something hit me.
Pray. Yeah. I've had mornings. I mean, I have little kids.
That's it.
And they have a lot of energy. And there have been mornings where the two of them are like at each other's throats in the sanctuary while we're trying to sing and play music. And there have been moments where I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. And then I'm like, you can do this. I can't do this. You can do this. So Jesus, just work through me. And he comes through every time. I might, you know, pass out when I get home for 1 second until my kids wake me up. But but pray. Because it does happen. But he always comes through. Always.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, like it's not about us. Like it's kind of like faith in general. There are going to be times where the sun's shining, you listen to a great song and you're like, man, glory, like it's amazing, like fantastic, yeah. All this. And then there's other days where something doesn't go your way, life's unfair, you don't get that job, you don't get that whatever, or you're just, you know, just things happen, people hurt you. And you don't feel like that's a time that you should be going to him. Or it's like, man, I just don't feel like reading my Bible. I'm very tired. Like, I'm so stressed with everything else that's going on with kids and work and family and drama and all this, you know, stuff. So I think it's easier said than done. But I think, like, you know, during that, it's like, yeah, okay. Like, this is, you know, this is what, this is the commitment that I've made with you. And this is not about me. I can't, like, you know, there's been mornings where, you know, it's early in the morning to sing. And sometimes the songs, you know, some of the notes that you're hitting, you're like, I don't know if I can hit this on a Wednesday night, given a Sunday morning. Yeah. But
Santa's
like
coming to town.
Santa. But yeah, that's hilarious. But yeah, you know, it's not like I can be, or any of us can be like, ah, man, you know, I just will have somebody else replace who's feeling better or in a better mood. Or like, again, it's not about, it's, you know, our part in the community. This is, you know, this is what, you know, we're here to glorify and we push through during the times where we don't necessarily feel like it. And again, it's easier said than done, but I think that's, I think like the last ditch motivation, if you don't have anything else, you know, I think going for that.
Yeah. I think specifically being in the congregation on any given Sunday, you know, not behind the drums, you know, Larissa, you said you have young kids. Yeah. Oh, I know.
I see you chasing Theo.
But I think, yeah, there's what I'm thinking about is like, I'm extremely grateful for the grace that God shows us in the moments, like on a Sunday morning when it's like, I got nothing. And the full service, the full worship set, I'm just like, all right, let's just get home and get these kids fed and to bed or whatever. And so, you know, especially in worship though, if it's like, God, I'm sorry, I don't have what it takes. And I do feel and believe that. He's like, you know what, Tim, it's okay. Like, I have grace and that's okay. You know, not sit this one out, but just be still, absorb, be a sponge. And if something does connect with you, mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't, that's okay. And what I find too, like, I love songs with repetition. You know, Nicole was saying, God, I look to you, and how, you know, a lot of times if I'm in a place, in a spot where it's like, man, I don't feel like I can connect. Oftentimes when I'm like still and there's just repetition, something called like breath prayer, where you breathe in and then breathe out, you know, a specific scripture or, you know, a prayer, but it's repetitive. Your heart begins to slow down. Your mind hopefully begins to connect on those specific words. And the Lord begins to do some work. And even if he doesn't, and even if you're still a blockhead and still still closed off, that's okay. And he's still going to meet you where you're at. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, real talk, you know, it's there's a lot of moments where Sunday mornings, they're like that. Or moments of worship is just like that. Yeah. But for anybody listening, sorry.
No, I couldn't agree with you more, Tim. I'm happy you brought that up, like being in the congregation, because I feel like that's the raw place, right? Like, you're not prepped, you're not on, you're coming in raw. And there's many Sundays where I'm like, you know, literally. And you're right, like the grace component, right? Like, he sees me, he knows my heart. Like,
and that's enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
I think it depends on the day and the song that's up there. Sometimes when I listen, I'll be like, oh, I wonder like what they have tuned up to their ear and like what the click is like. And like, you know, thinking, you know, what, you know, if I was up there, you know, just kind of naturally. But there's a lot of times for me, a lot of the songs that I love that we play and that I'll play as well. It's great when you're up there because you're leading worship and, you know, you're focusing on the song, the next chord, the next lyric, the, you know, all of that. And I think there's a lot of songs that when I'm in the congregation, you know, I'll pray or I'll talk or I'll, you know, just focus on that specific relationship with Jesus, where I'm experiencing the song with everybody else, just as everybody else would. And I think there's a difference sometimes. Sometimes when I'm, you know, when we're singing and I'm up on stage, there's like specific songs that just speak more towards my emotions and my heart. And I'll feel God much more closely than other songs. And I think when I'm in the congregation, I feel that even more, especially with a lot of songs.
It's interesting. This is the number of years I've been at churches. It feels like I've, except for the last 3 years, every Sunday I've been on the platform as a pastor or leading the worship or praying. Somehow I've always been involved. So it's I'm still adjusting to what it's like to kind of be watching, like where I used to be. It's weird. But to still give myself fully into it, you know, and there are times, you know, whoever's up there, I'll just, you know, sometimes I'll stop singing. And I'm trying to figure out how to put this. All right, so Larissa's up there singing, and she's just nailing some song. Well, that's pretty much every song. And I may not be singing, but I'm watching them, and I'm excited for the gift that she's using at that point. I don't know, that may sound really weird, but sometimes, you know, I think it was last Sunday or two Sundays ago, I think Justin had a few more electric guitar licks in it, and I'm sitting there going, yeah, that's just, yeah. I'm feeling, yeah, you're just kind of, yeah, you know, and we're going to give you some solos on the drum kit. No, between services. But it's, yeah. But I'm starting to understand, you know, that and just like be happy for people that are using their gifts. Again, I don't know if that's the right verbiage, but it's just like, it's just, you can see it and just like, it's like, go God through them, or go Larissa for letting God go through, you know, it's just, so it's, I'm enjoying that as well.
And I think like so to that point, exactly. I've never been on a worship team before this. And so I think when I would ever attend church, it was like, oh, you know, this is what they do. This is easy for them. Like, I don't know I don't know who's up there. But I've loved getting to know each and every one of the worship team. And I'm still, there's people that I really haven't talked to you much, Larissa, I'm Zach. It's great, you know, learning about just everybody's individual stories and how, like, to know more about your backstory and to see you up there, like kind of what you're saying, like, it's like, wow, like this is pretty awesome. Like watching, you and your gifts that God has given you with his strength and to fuel that passion, to glorify him. I think that's just electric. And that, you know, getting, you know, just seeing each different personality up there, each different combination of guitarists and instrumentalists and vocalists, I think is, really cool. And there's so much more that goes into it to create worship, more than I really ever knew. And I think that's just, it's really, really cool. And it's, again, another example of the awesomeness of God.
I think there's, again, like this freedom piece when you come in to the room and you're not leading, where you can be vulnerable. Because music, especially worship music, right? It has a tendency to pull you, right? And there's times where you can be still. And you can let the harmony lines just go through your soul, and you can cry, and you can smile, you can sit down, you can pray, because there's freedom. And it's freedom to just worship without concern, right? Like, you're not going to, like, leading, you're not going to be like, I'm sorry, I just need a minute. Like, they're going to be like, what is going on? You know, like, but you can when you're in the room. And it takes me back to Brooklyn Tabernacle, like when Taylor and I used to go there a long time ago while we were fighting over where to go to church. And you'd walk in the room and, like, just the presence of God, like, and the way the chorus came together and the way they led and the way they believed every word they sang. And I just remember feeling like, I don't even know what the word is. It's just like an energy, right? Now I know what that energy is. But then I was like, wow, this is really cool. But, you know, obviously now I realize it's God. But you could just be, you know, you could be present. And I think that's a big piece of like Sunday mornings, coming in vulnerable, coming in tired, coming in excited, whatever emotions you're feeling, you can let it be. And you can just be there praying for the people up there, encouraged by the people up there, excited. These are people we love, right? We know each other. And like when somebody comes on and, you know, like maybe you haven't seen a certain side of them yet, and then you're like, whoa, yes, you know, and you get to have that woohoo moment out there for them. Mm-hmm. It's just there's a freedom to it. Yeah.
And I just wanted to say, like, and I think when we've been rescued from our brokenness and the pieces have been put back together and we recognize what God has done in our lives, like that is every reason to praise Him and Him alone. And sitting, you know, whether you're sitting in the congregation or you're on stage and the day maybe isn't what you hoped it would, or you're just not in that place to worship, to lead, fixing our thoughts and our minds on that very thought, like he saved me. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm not feeling it right now, that is the reason, the very reason that we should be lifting His name high and glorifying Him because of what He's done for us.
One thing I wanted to say from going back to that point too, when we're not necessarily feeling it, Jesus experienced every single emotion that we experience, from fatigue, excitement, frustration. I mean, he called out to God and he didn't want to, he's like, is there any way that I cannot go up on the cross? Please let it be. But he always focused on His will, and that I want to do His will. And I'm sure there was times that there was, I don't know, Jesus slept in the wrong position and he had a sore back and he didn't want to be standing in front of, you know, I'm sure there were moments, but, you know, to focus on, as you said, Tim, like to focus on Him and for the blessings that He's given us and the resources and the gifts, and that it's not about, well, only the times that I'm feeling great is when I'm going to be singing. The only times that I feel great is when I'm going to open up my Bible. It's through each and every day, through that dedication, because of what He's given us and because of that renewal and that rebirth, that new song. You know, I think, well, if He can do it, you know, like, He's asking me to do it. I'll come on, I'll do it.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not something you hear very often. If Jesus can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah, right.
Let's go. Crack them out.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Until next time, I leave you with the words of Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands.